Today's lesson is going to be about perfect sets. It'll be a short lesson, but Wednesday's lesson was rather long, so that's fine. A set. I said that wrong. This is Monday. Anyway, it's a short lesson. It's the end of the chapter. A set S in the reals is called perfect if it is closed and if every point of S is an accumulation point of S. The property of being perfect is a rather special one. It means that the set has no isolated points. Example, consider the set S, which is the closed interval 0, 2. This set is perfect because 1, it's closed, and 2, any interior point is clearly an accumulation point, and 3, 0 is the limit of 1 over j, so it's an accumulation point, and 2 is the limit of 2 minus 1 over j, so it's an accumulation point. So the set S, the closed interval 0, 2, is closed, and every element of S is an accumulation point. Clearly, any closed interval AB is perfect. After all, a point X in the interior of the interval is surrounded by an entire open interval X minus epsilon, X plus epsilon. A is the limit of elements from the right, and B is the limit of elements from the left, just like in the example 0, 2. The Cantor set, a totally disconnected set, is perfect. It is definitely closed. Now fix, because it's the intersection of compact sets. Now fix an X in the Cantor set, then X is certainly an S1. The set S1 is the set we use to construct the Cantor set. So therefore X is in one of the two intervals composing S1. One or perhaps both of the endpoints of that interval does not equal X. Call that endpoint A1. Likewise, X is in S2, therefore X lies in one of the intervals of S2. Choose an endpoint A2 of that interval, which does not equal X. Continuing in this fashion, choose an endpoint from each of the SJs, and you end up here with a sequence in the Cantor set that converges to X. And you can see from this construction that X minus AJ has size not larger than 3 to the minus J. So the AJs converge to X, and X is an accumulation point. Therefore, the Cantor set is perfect. The fundamental theorem about perfect sets tells us that such a set must be rather large. Theorem: a non-empty perfect set must be uncountable. Proof: let S be a non-empty perfect set. Since S has accumulation points, it cannot be finite, therefore it is either countable or uncountable. Seeking a contradiction, we suppose that S is countable. Write S equal S1, S2, S3, and so on. Let U1 equal S1 minus 1, S1 plus 1, the open interval. Then U1 is a neighborhood of S1. Now, S1 is a limit point of S, so there must be infinitely many elements of S lying in U1. We select a bounded open interval U2 so that U2 closure lies in U1. U2 closure does not contain S1, and U2 does contain some element of S. Continuing in this fashion, assume S1 through SJ have been selected and choose a bounded interval UJ plus 1 such that number 1, UJ plus 1 closure is in UJ, and number 2, SJ is not in UJ plus 1 closure, and number 3, UJ plus 1 contains some element of S. Observe that each set VJ, which is UJ closure intersect S, is closed and bounded, and hence compact. Also, each VJ is not empty by construction, but VJ does not contain SJ minus 1. It follows that V equals the intersection of the VJs cannot contain S1 since V2 does not. Cannot contain S2 since V3 does not, indeed cannot contain any element of S. Hence, V, being a subset of S, is empty. But V is the decreasing intersection of non-empty compact sets, so it cannot be empty. That's a contradiction. Therefore, S cannot be countable, so it must be uncountable. Corollary. If A is less than B, then the closed interval AB is uncountable. Proof. The interval AB is perfect. Finally, we also have a new way of seeing that the Cantor set is uncountable. So, corollary, the Cantor set is uncountable, and the proof is the Cantor set is perfect, as we've already proved, and therefore it must be uncountable. That's the end of today, Monday's lesson. I will see you on Wednesday.